Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Thinking Outside the Box with Dr. Susan Starler. I wanted to welcome you back, and thank you so much for joining us again today. Today we are again going to be having a lovely guest speaker. That is Dr. Lucy Postoloff. Dr. Lucy is an acupuncturist who was the first acupuncturist to be working on staff at Cedars, and her specialty has been cancer and cancer management. Dr. Lucy, are you with us today?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody.
That's wonderful. Hi. Good to have you back.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Absolutely. I'm so happy you're here, and I'm so happy to let everybody know who's listening, reminding you once again that we are going to be having a complimentary educational event with Dr. Lucy as our guest speaker on Thursday, March 26th at my West Los Angeles office. That is at 12301 Wilshire Boulevard, suite number 615. This is a free event. There is free parking in the back after 6 o'clock. And I hope that you can all join us, but please do RSVP. The phone number for that is 310-571-1212. And I ask because seating is limited, and we want to make sure that we can accommodate everybody who would like to come and see Dr. Lucy talk in person. So, Dr. Lucy, we are going to be talking today about hormonal disorders and the cancers related to them, specifically breast cancer. I know that a lot of women are getting breast cancer, and at least what I've seen is that most breast cancer appears to happen in the left breast, statistically. Now, with regard to tumors, I know that the average growing tumor doubles every 90 days. Fast-growing tumors, they grow every 30 days, they double. Slow-growing tumors will double every 180 days, and very slow tumors, which is often things that have metastasized to the brain, they'll double every 360 days. When dealing with breast cancer or other hormonally related cancers, what is it that you see and how do you deal with it?
Well, first of all, I want to mention that not every breast cancer will be hormonal in the nature or hormone related. When the patient comes to me, and usually they come to me when they already have been diagnosed and already either planning to have a surgery or already had the surgery and facing chemotherapy or radiation. The first question I'm asking them would be, are you estrogen positive? Is your cancer progesterone positive? Are you positive for gene, BRCA gene, or HER2 antibody gene? Because there are so many different types of cancer. And obviously, if, let's say, the patient is estrogen positive, he will be given, after the chemo and radiation, the medication which blocks the receptors of estrogen, so it will minimize their chance of having metastatic breast cancer. So I treat really every single patient differently depending on what kind of cancer they have. Now, most of the women who go through chemotherapy will also get into menopause. But let's say this is a woman in her mid-40s, and it's not the time for her to become menopausal. However, after chemotherapy, she will become menopausal. So she's getting into early menopause. And she will have all the symptoms, hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, decreased libido, and etc. However, doctors cannot give them hormone replacement therapy because they do not want this woman to be under the risk of cancer coming back. So a lot of patients are coming to me for balancing their hormones. I can take care of all symptoms as hot flashes, night sweats, everything what goes with menopause. However, not using hormone replacement therapy. And that's what most oncologists in this city are referring me their patients for, because we do not want patient to relapse. We don't want them to have metastatic cancer, but we also want women to be comfortable and have a good quality of life.
Of course.
So did I answer your question about hormones and breast cancer and how we balance it?
You did. You did. Thank you so much. What are some of the other common causes? And I know every patient is different. Every patient is unique. But when the various tumors are biopsied, what are some of the other common causes that you found or that you deal with when it comes to things that are contributing to breast cancer?
35% of all the reasons why cancer is happening is in area of your expertise. It is a diet. So I spend a lot of time with my patients talking about diet, and then I refer them to you because you're an expert in that field.
Diet,
35%, and it is the information from NIH that 35% of cancer is due to diet.
Right.
Isn't it crazy?
And I know that's true. Yes. No, think about it. What is it in a Cheeto that you can even begin to call real food? It's just chemicals that you're dumping into your nervous system, which then causes inflammation and leaky gut, and it goes into the body, and wherever it goes, it will stay and create problems. But what about the issues of other environmental toxins, like heavy metals, for example, pesticides, anything like that?
Pesticides, definitely, and that's why I'm stressing food. I recommend my patients to eat only organic food. Besides that, I recommend patients to grow their own food, and I think it's very important that whatever people put in their mouth is prepared themselves and not processed. I'm totally against processed food. I personally believe in cooking myself, and whatever I put in my mouth comes through my hands, and I know exactly what I put there.
I totally agree.
Is chicken, it's hormone-free. If it is meat, it is hormone and antibiotic free. I am coming back to the diet. However, of course, stress of everyday life, although it's a very controversial subject about stress, there are a lot of articles which will say, no, stress has nothing to do with cancer, and some say, yes, it is. In my practice, usually when I ask a patient, did anything happen prior to your diagnosis of cancer, they do tell me that half a year or a year before, something very tragic and dramatic happened in their life, and many times they would say that they were under a lot of pressure. So I do believe that stress is a big contributor to cancer, because we have two mutations. We need two mutations to happen. Even if it is genetic cancer, until the second mutation happens, cancer will not start growing. So we need that trigger point. And that's why my advice to my patients always, exercise, eat healthy, meditate, live a healthy lifestyle, sleep enough hours. All these points are very important.
I totally agree. And I have experienced the same thing when patients come in who are dealing with cancer and they're looking for a nutritional support while they're going through whatever they're going through. One of the first conversations I have with them is, look, somebody needs to be the gatekeeper. So your oncologist is going to be your gatekeeper. But when it comes to dealing with cancer, how I find that it is dealt with most successfully is there's a triad. You have to have your allopathic or your medical support. You have to have your holistic support, that's nutritional support, acupuncture support, whatever other modality they choose, but that's sort of crucial as well. And then you have to have your spiritual support, because you're right, as people experience extreme episodes of what is usually emotional stress, it depresses and suppresses the immune system. And all cancer needs in order to propagate and gain a foothold is for the immune system to be sidetracked dealing with something else over a prolonged period of time. And then it manifests as it will, and now you've got to run with it. Again, depending on how fast-growing the cancer is and what type you actually have will depend on how it manifests and when it manifests. But early detection and, frankly, prevention to the greatest degree possible is huge.
I agree. I usually, when I do presentations on cancer or when I talk to my patients, I like to quote a famous Chinese saying that in a battle with the disease, there are three warriors. There is a patient, there is a disease, and there is a doctor. And by the word doctor, I combine oncologist, radiologist, surgeon, nutritionist, acupuncturist, massage therapist, all group of different doctors who will help the patient to fight cancer. And I say, if you are with us, then the disease will be conquered. The minute you give up, that's when you're going to lose this battle.
Absolutely.
But I always encourage patients to have a whole team of doctors on site. So we all work together, and that's why I feel that you and me working together, us working with other oncologists and know our team and know that we all complement each other, that we all are on the same page,
right,
is very important. Like yesterday,
right,
I had
right.
a very interesting case, for example. I had a patient who is my patient for many years, and I noticed something strange in her system, and I referred her to a specialist, and sure enough, I was right, she did have a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But her oncologist is a very old school. And the first thing he said to her, I don't want any needles in you. I don't want any herbs. I don't know how they interact with chemotherapy and radiation. And she said, but my acupuncturist was with me for 15 years for different reasons. She was the one who found cancer and referred me to a specialist. So I had to call the doctor, and this is the doctor who even doesn't have yet internet or email address. So I sent him, believe it or not, fax release okay. of National Institute of Health that acupuncture is successfully treating patients with side effects of chemo and radiation and post-surgical pain. And that was released in 1978, and he tells the patient that there is no evidence. Obviously, this doctor didn't watch papers for a long time. And
well,
then I sent to him probably 40 pages document on research on every single herb which is in chemo support and radio support, proving that all these herbs are not contraindicated in chemo and what good every single herb in this formula does to fight cancer and side effects of chemo and radiation. So today she comes in and I'm asking her, so what did your oncologist said? And she said, he felt that if I feel strongly about doing it, it's okay to do it.
And good for you, because I find that I do the same thing. I'm always educating other doctors, and you know what? That's just fine. That's part of what we do, because more doctors need to be educated, and in all fairness, not everybody's as geeky and proactive as you and I are when it comes to thinking outside the box and going forward and learning about things that can help our people that are cutting-edge information. So, Dr. Lucy, this has been a wonderful session, and regarding takeaway points for our audience, you know, what's the best advice that you can give people for taking away? Give me 3 points, and I made some notes, and you tell me if these are a good 3. First of all, Never eat processed foods. Avoid sugar. Second, get plenty of exercise and plenty of sleep. And three, manage your stress. Is there anything
perfect.
Else you can add to that?
I would say that's a perfect three most important points.
Fabulous.
Perfect.
I couldn't add anything to that. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. And everybody, remember once again, Thursday, March 26th at my office. And it's going to be wonderful. Dr. Lucy has an incredible presentation put together and much more education for you. So do think of joining us. Please call in RSVP 310-571-1212. And thank you so much for joining us and thinking outside the box. Take good care, and bye-bye for now.
Bye. Stay well.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.